Bibles and turn to John chapter 13, if you will. If you miss getting a worksheet, slip your hand up. They'll get you one, if you'd like to have one. Slip your hand up. They'll be right with you. Anybody? All right, looks good. John chapter 13. We're working our way through the book of John. It's with his message number, I think, somewhere around 53. But we are doing this to take our time. We started years and years ago on Wednesday night to work our way through the Bible. We did some overviews on some of the more familiar Bibles, like books like Genesis and Exodus. And then we kind of did some kind of overview on a few little things here and there. And a few of the smaller books, a few of the small prophets, we pretty well covered the entire book. And then we got to the New Testament. We did everything really verse by verse through Matthew. And then when we got finished Matthew, we did that which was in Mark that was not in Matthew. They're very, very similar. And so then when we did the same thing in Luke, that which was in Luke that we had not covered in Matthew and Mark. When you get to John, it really is not one of what they call the synoptic gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are very, very similar in format, though they don't all have the same stories. And, of course, they all give a little bit of a different perspective on these things. John really deals with a lot of things, especially in the early part of the ministry, that the other ones don't. And then you jump to the night of before his crucifixion, where we're coming to now, and we're only halfway through the book. And so the last week of his life is very detail-oriented here. It's covered in much detail. And, of course, John presents Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Mark, the servant. Matthew, the King of the Jews. Luke, the servant. But John also especially in this last portion here, Jesus is giving the disciples some final instructions, some final application, direction on some things they're going to need to do. And in fact, last time we were talking about, he said, I'm telling you some things here that you need to know because it's going to get nasty. But that doesn't mean this was all foolishness. Doesn't mean this was all fake. In fact, because it wasn't fake, it's going to get a little nasty here. But I want you to know ahead of time so that when it happens, you're not thrown off the course. So we saw some things here last time in chapter 13. We covered several things. And we'll talk about that here in a minute. But because last time we talked about finishing well. And Jesus finished well. But then he gives some instruction to the disciples on how to finish well. And you finish well by loving the brethren and obeying Christ and giving out the gospel. And we saw all that. Now, there's some other things in this passage here I want us to see. So again, he's giving us several things for us to understand. So in John chapter 13, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 4. Of course, this is the Last Supper. Verse number 4 says, He riseth from supper, Jesus, riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. And Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know afterward, hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. He was such a mess. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed, that word is bathed. Okay? He that is washed, that word means to bathe, to take a good bath. Okay? Needeth not except to or save to wash his feet. That word wash means to clean a particular spot, a particular appendage, a particular area. It means to wash, but you could say, go wash your hands. But we're not saying go take a bath. Now, when I was a kid, my mom said, now go wash. Well, she meant I was going to take a bath and everything. So the same word. But this is not the same word here. The same word for us, but it's not the same word in the Greek. So he said, he that is washed, I'm sorry, go back to 8. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. So he says, well, then wash my hands and my head. And verse 10, he that is washed, bathed, needeth not save to wash, clean up his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should be betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. But that meant some of them were clean, even though he needed to wash the feet. Okay? Are you catching that? He says, you know, you're all clean. We just need to wash your feet. But you're not all of you aren't clean. All y'all, if he's down from down south, all y'all are not clean. And the reason he said, that means you're not all been bathed, you're not all totally clean. Verse 12, so after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments unto them, taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you. Let's pray, and we're going to talk about keep clean. Keep clean. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your blessings. And Lord, there's some things you want to teach us here. Again, the Christian life isn't difficult, but man has made it complicated and complex and confusing. And so, Lord, we just need to understand your word. So I ask you once again that your Holy Spirit will give us exactly what we need here this evening. And what each of us may need a little something different from this passage. So whatever that may be, Lord, I pray that you'll give it. And we'll give you the praise for what you're going to do in Christ's name. Amen. So it's the last evening that the Lord Jesus will have his disciples with him before he's crucified. There will be 3 long days of heartache coming up, questioning in their heart, soul searching, wondering if all this was true, and what do the last 3.5 years even mean if this is what it comes down to? In fact, you know, Peter at this point is still saying, well, I'm not going to let him kill you. On this night, he's going to say that. So they still don't quite see the picture here. Jesus will rise on the 3rd day and then be in the area for 40 more days before he ascends to heaven. Disciples are going to be on their own soon. He's going to be gone. It's not always going to be smooth sailing. In fact, there are going to be some very difficult times ahead of them. And Jesus warns them and tells them he's he's doing, and so that they will not be caught off guard when the tough times come. In the midst of his final instructions, there are several things Jesus wants to admonish them about. He's encouraging them to finish well themselves, just as he has done. He loved his own until the end, our verse says. Our passage, just a few verses after where we stopped. Said, having loved them, he loved them to the end. The testimony that the disciples are to have is that they also love one another. So then we'll know you're my disciple. We'll know that you learned from me. You learned that from me. If you don't know how to love one another, by the way, again, love doesn't mean like. If you don't learn to love, you haven't learned anything yet from him. But if you really love, and love is of God, and he that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God, and he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. If you haven't learned to love yet, then you haven't been his disciple. Going along with living one another, they are to serve one another rather than to see who can get the upper hand and over another and be served. So he's telling them several things. And if we're going to stay right with others, we're going to have to stay right with God. But I would say it this way. If I am not right with others, then I have failed to follow the command of God, and thus I am no longer right with God. It's so easy for us to get dirty living in the world. However, we cannot have a close relationship with the Lord and be dirty in the things of the world. I cannot be in God's presence and be defiling things around me with my dirt at the same time. If I want to be what I should be towards others, though, I must be what I should be towards God. I've got to be clean. Now, I think some people are so used to being dirty all the time, they don't really know what it feels like to be clean before God. I think it just feels like it's a saying. There may be some times where you got to, if you've been saved, you're washed in the blood, and you're seen as righteous, God has imputed you his righteousness, you're saved, and when you die, you get to go to heaven. I understand that. That doesn't change. But right now, we want to have fellowship, and we want to have fellowship with him. We need to walk with him. We're going to walk with him. We've got to be clean. We've got to walk where he walks. And sometimes we need to, not really taking a tire bath, but sometimes we need a good cleaning. Now, this is not on the paper here, but I'm going to throw this in here for free. I've said this several times, and so if you haven't heard this, I want you to hear it, because I think it's important. There's been several times in my life. Now, I try to keep clean. I brush my teeth every morning and every night. And if I'm going to come to church or go out for a visit, I brush my teeth again before I go out. And you're thankful that I brushed my teeth before I came tonight. Now, that keeps me clean. I've been on a camping trip a few times and didn't take my toothbrush because I wasn't going to have a good place to brush my teeth anyway. So, you know, but you know what? After a couple of days, it's pretty yucky. They like to have little sweaters on them. It's just awful. They don't look so bad, but they feel terrible. I don't like being dirty. When I was a little kid, I used to tell my mom, there's some things I just wouldn't do. This is going to sound crazy. Now, I don't let this bother me now. But I wouldn't eat sticky buns because I didn't like, and I was little, I didn't like getting, this is the word I use, gicky. I didn't like getting gicky. Oh, gicky. Mommy, you're gicky, you know, and so I didn't like getting gicky. Now, if she fed it to me, I was just fine, but I didn't like, in fact, I would ask her to do that, but I didn't like to get gicky. I don't like being dirty. I like being clean. But every once in a while, I'll go out and work. I'll be out in the world doing what I need to do, and I will get just plain filthy. Now, it's not that I've never had a bath before, but I'm dirty. And sometimes, though we are the child of God and we're going to go to home to glory, sometimes we need a good washing. Now, the Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here's something that I would suggest that you do, and some of you have heard me say this before. I'd get myself a pad of paper. I'll be honest with you, I got a big one. And I found a place that I was alone. I decided I wanted the Lord's hand on my, this happened several times, but before I came up and took this church, I did that. When I first got into the ministry down at Open Door, in Westminster, I did this. And there's been a couple times in my life when I just felt like I needed a good cleaning. I allowed some things to slip. I got a paper or a pad, whatever it was. And I got on my knees and I asked the Lord. First, I confessed that I was a sinner, am a sinner, and there's some things I need to tend to and I want to be right with him. And I said, now, Lord, bring to my mind any sins that I need to get rid of, that I need to confess. Bible said, we cover our sins, we shall not prosper. He that confesses and forsakes shall have mercy. What I need is mercy. And so then you wait. Don't say, oh, don't hear anything. All right, let's get up and we're done. No. Wait before the Lord. And then write it down. Curtis Hudson said to do this, and I thought, oh, this is a good job. I wrote down the sin. And then I owned up to the sin. And then I said, that's the last thing I want to ever do again. And Lord, forgive me. This is my sin. I'm sorry. And I'm going to do my best ever to do it again. I know better. I don't want to do it again. With your help, Lord, I won't do it again. And I cross it out. And then you go to the next one. And then you go to the next one. You'll be surprised some of the things. Even little things we don't think is a big deal. God thinks it's a big deal. He brought up things I hadn't thought up for years. I even had to write a letter to my former preacher and apologize about some things. And so I wanted to get thoroughly right. Once you get that all done, if you got a fireplace, use it. If not, take it someplace and burn it. That list of sin, no one needs to know it. They're all gone. They're done. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. To cast our sins as far as the east is from the west, to bury them in the depths of the deepest sea. To the point where he says, I will remember them no more. They're done. They're under the blood. You'd be surprised how clean you'll feel. And if you forget something, and wait a while till he stops talking to you, stops impressing your heart about some things. And if you wait a little while, go ahead and get up. Now, if he brings something else to your mind, by the way, there'll be some things now along the way. Just because I take a bath. Do you ever raise a toddler? You get them all bathed and dressed and ready to go to church. But you really don't do that till the last thing, before you're going to go out the door and throw them in a car. Because otherwise, you do them first. They're going to be dirty by the time you get ready to go to church. They're going to need it again. And so sometimes we need to clean up again. We're going to need to get cleaned up again. Don't let it get that bad again. As some people say, make short accounts with God. So it's very easy to get dirty. So we need a good initial cleaning, salvation. However, we will get dirty again. We need constant and consistent maintenance cleaning, if you will. The dirtier we are, the further we will be from our Lord and His influence on us. And the further we are from the Lord, the less like Him we will be, and the less spiritual influence He will have on us, and the less like Him and His love we will have for others. Now listen, Jesus is not going to be around in this story. He's not going to be around much longer to keep these boys straight. Yes, he's going to send the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of Jesus Christ to dwell not only with them, but in them. He's going to talk about that tonight. Well, not this night, but his night. And the Spirit will convict them of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. But they're going to have to choose to be cleaned up again and again and again. Now, there are several principles here that Jesus is going to teach them this in his next actions here. First and foremost is that we should have a submissive heart and a willing spirit to serve one another. And secondarily, the Christian life requires constant, consistent cleansing. Number one. Lesson number one, a spirit-filled Christian has a submissive servant's spirit. Now, what we watched him do was wash the feet of the disciples. Now, remember, the ones who did that was usually the lowest servant in the household. Because what was on it'd be one thing for us to take off our $100 shoes and our $30 pair of socks and have somebody wash our feet when we just, and you know, you. The fact is, if we don't do foot washing here, there's some churches that do that. I don't think it's a third ordinance. I don't think that's what he meant here. Although some churches take it that literally, but the fact is, if you're going to do that, you're probably going to wash your feet real good before anybody else gets a hold of them, right? You go down to church, we're going to have foot washing tonight. I'm going to wash my feet, make sure everything's good. And I don't want to knock anybody off when I pull my sock off, you know. And so that's one thing. But you see, In the culture they were in, they were walking on dirt. And if they didn't walk, they rode animals. And so the road was full of deposits that had been mixed in with the dirt. This was just life. You know, it's been a few years ago, but I don't know if you heard about this, but there was people over in Lancaster County that was suing some of real estate salesmen and the developments, the developers, because they bought this house, and then in the spring, the farms decided to fertilize the field. And they thought, what is this? You can't live like this. What are they doing to us? We didn't sign up for this. Well, so what did you think? Of course, the people who've lived up there and grown up there all their life, they didn't think any different. That's just part of the fresh country air. I forget, we were having a conference here last year, whatever it was, and all of a sudden, somebody decided to put chicken manure across over here in the field. I'll tell you what, it made your eyes burn. don't know if it's ever been quite that bad. It was bad. And but you know, it's part of when you build next to a cornfield, or you know, that's what you kind of get. Now the fact is, they were probably used to it to a certain extent. But still, the same. There was all kinds of stuff under their toenails and everything else. And so that was a very humbling experience. And Jesus, in our passage here, look at it. He riseth from supper, Master, Lord, and laid aside his garments. He put aside his rightful identity. Do you remember when he gets crucified, they take his robe off and it's all woven in one piece, and the soldiers actually don't want to tear it in half, and so that's why they gamble for it. It's a little thing there. You have to catch it one. I can't remember which of the gospels is, but I mean, it's not that he was poor, but he had a nice robe on. Someone had given him, I guess, and so he took that off. He took that robe off, and he took a towel and girded himself. That word girded means to bind tightly, not a loose affiliation. He took this towel and he put it on him and he made it tight. Kind of became part of who he was for a moment. Have you ever picked up a dirty towel and you kind of go, you grab the smallest, cleanest little edge you can, you know, and then you go throw it away or throw it in the laundry or something, you know. Now he took that thing. Now at this point it's still clean, but he strapped it right on him. He girded it, made it tight. He took it. He took possession of a servant's tool. He took possession of that towel. Verse 5, and after that, he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash his disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. So he now has the identity of a servant. You ever see a maitre d'? You always see they're all dressed up there, but they got this, you know, they got this little towel or whatever it is, hanging over there. I mean, they're supposed to look good, but they're still a servant. They clean up the messes. All right. Well, he took on the form of a servant, if you will, put that towel on, and he began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. In other words, he took the dirt of the disciples' feet upon himself, and now he's wearing the dirt. You got to get the picture. Now, there's 12 of these boys, right? Men have big feet. And men don't always walk around the puddles. We're men. We can handle the dirt. We just walk right through the dirt. They weren't dancing around. Oh, Jesus is going to wash their feet, then I'm going to make sure. They didn't know that. They were just living life. And when you live life, you get dirty. Now, it's not really their fault. It's not. They didn't even really mean to do it. Now, I 4-year-old boys find puddles and dance in them. And men probably weren't doing that, but they just get dirty because it's just part of life. So he took upon himself and he wore it. The towel would have been becoming soiled and stained with the filthiness of the disciples' feet. I don't know why we have a couple of times we've had a year we have some folks over our house and we have a little powder room there in the main floor, and you put a little towel there by the powder, and for years, my wife would buy these nice little paper towel things that you pull out of the box, you know, and nobody wanted to use them. They all used the towel hanging on the rack. Now, you know what? When you got 40 people in the house, they're all using the same towel. After a while, it doesn't hardly make sense to even bother with the towel. The towel's probably wetter than your hands. But for some reason, that's what they would do. They would use that. And so can you just imagine? I mean, we're talking about after people have put their hands underneath running water and gotten all the germs off. It didn't even look dirty. It was just wet. But can you imagine after he washed the feet and dried them with a towel. Now, there's stories telling, I'm glad I grew up in a different dispensation. But I've been told that if you go back to the early 1900s, you fill the wash tub up, and daddy takes a bath first, and then from oldest on down, they all get in the same water and wash. Because otherwise, you had to heat up more water and put it in the tub. Can you imagine how thick that stuff is by the time you get to the end of kid number 13? My goodness. Anyway, my point is this. There stands Jesus with all the dirt of the world on him. Then he cometh to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Now, I don't think he was saying, I'm going to put my feet in that dirty water. I don't think that's what he was saying. I think he was really saying, are you really going to wash my feet? You know what he's saying? I don't understand your submissiveness. That's what he's saying. I don't understand your submissiveness. You know, there's a lot of Christians who don't understand submissiveness. In fact, they think that they have lost. Number two, dirty people cannot clean themselves. Dirty people cannot clean themselves. Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never, that means never, ever, 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 wash my feet. Now that word wash there, it's a term to cleanse apart. Doesn't mean, he didn't say, you're never going to give me a bath. He just said, you're never going to wash my feet. And that's really what he was doing. Now, I want to understand something here. Something that is dirty is not able to make something else that is dirty clean. You cannot clean something with a dirty rag. Do you ever wash windows? And after a while, you got to get rid of the window. You got to get rid of the rag or or use paper towels, so you can, as soon as they get dirty, you throw them out or use a squeegee or something. But you got to, and then even then, you got to wipe it off. You can't clean something with something that's dirty. Letter B, it takes something that is clean to make clean something that is dirty. Right? The clean must be sacrificed and take on the dirt. Something is already dirty will just wipe on more dirt if you try to clean with it. You ever do that? You thought that was clean, you start cleaning your glass, and now it's all smeary and it's a mess, and you're worse than when you started. My dad was a mechanic on the side, never really a professional mechanic, but he could have done most anything he wanted to. He did a lot of his own work. But typical mechanic back then, things aren't clean until you wash it in gasoline. My kids even remember, they called him Pop-Pop. Pop-Pop had a certain smell. He smelled like the shop. There's this oily, gassy smell, but that's who they remember on Pop-Pop. That's who he was. You crawl up, and that's what he smelled like. Felt like that as long as I knew him. Even though he sold real estate for a long time, he was in cars on the side enough that if you got close enough, now his clients couldn't do it, but you got close enough, you could smell the shop on him. And it probably, it killed some germs, gasoline. I mean, it does kill some things, but it probably adds a few things too. And you can't clean something with something that's dirty. Letter C. To refuse God's cleaning causes it to remain dirty. You realize there's only one that's clean? There's none that is good but God. Remember? What should I do? Good. Why do you call me good? There's none good but God. And Peter says, I would never let you wash my feet. I would never let you stoop to serve me like that. You should not have to do such things. And that's true. And this sounds very humble, but it is proud, or at least ignorant. What you're saying is either, I would rather go to hell than have you serve me, or I will take care of this issue myself and the Lord will not have to. It sounds weird, but you know what? Take it. God has offered it. If you're saying you would rather go to hell than have the Lord serve you, means you must not believe what the Lord has said about hell and you think you can handle it. If you think you can handle the situation yourself and stay out of hell on your own, you must believe there's enough righteousness in you to make it through. See, again, sometimes we just don't know our theology. He says, you don't understand right now, Peter, but you will. I know you don't understand this right now, but I have to do this. I have to serve you. I have to wash you, or you can have no part with me. Number three. If you want to walk with Jesus, you need to be clean. You need to be clean. We'll get there. Jesus answered, he said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Now he says, if I wash, if I don't cleanse these parts, he's not talking about a bath. So if I don't cleanse these parts, you have no part with me. In other words, you can't share in what is being offered. Now that doesn't mean, now watch me. That doesn't mean, remember he said, ye are clean, but not all of you. But they're already clean. But then he turns right around and says, I've got to wash you. So he's not talking about salvation here. When he says this, he's talking about something in addition to salvation, but it doesn't solidify salvation. Salvation is a gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. But he said, if you want to walk with me, you got to let me clean you. Now, he's talking to them about serving one another, but at the same time teaching a lesson how we need to be clean. Letter B, there is a two-part process in being clean before God. There's a two-part process. There's, number one, initial cleaning. I-N-I-T-I-A-L. Initial cleaning. Number two, a constant follow-up maintenance cleaning. It's the truth. Keep clean. Keep short accounts. You're saved by the blood. You're going to heaven. You're the child of God. That's all under the blood. But if you want to walk with him, you need to stay clean. Now, I'm not saying he will ever leave you nor forsake you, but we may leave and forsake him. We cry, Lord, save me, as we're going under, blah, blah, blah. And yes, he'll reach out his hand and he'll grab you like he did with Peter. He got his eyes off of him and got his eyes on the storm and the water. On the other hand, he wouldn't have to go blub, 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 blub if he had just kept his eyes on Jesus in the first place. Number four, we need one good thorough cleaning to, here's the word, establish our relationship with God. One good thorough cleaning to establish our relationship with God. What is that? Letter A, we are cleaned when we are washed in the blood and born again. Now that's one time, once for all. You're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration, washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I don't have to do this all over again. You're washed from your sins as far as your positional sanctification. You're a child of God. Letter B, however, nothing, and going along with that, nothing can enter into the presence of God that would defile you. Go back and read it in Revelation 21:27. The fear, but there shall no wise enter into anything that defile with the work of the abomination or make it alive, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. That's true. And if you don't allow, he basically says, if you don't allow me to cleanse you, there's no other way for you to be cleansed, and then you cannot be clean, and you cannot be with me. So you've got the initial cleaning. Letter C. We must be washed in the blood of Jesus. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Hebrews 9:22. And almost by all things or by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Now, actually, that 1 John 1:7 is talking about initial cleansing, but it actually, we're going to see it actually talking about, we're going to use the word daily or constant cleansing as well. Number five. We must be continuously cleaning to stay in fellowship with Jesus. Now, fellowship is different than familyship. I'm going to make a word out of it. There was times when I was still part of the family, but I was not necessarily having good fellowship with Daddy. In fact, a lot of people say that I looked just like him. And everyone said, well, you can't deny that boy. And that was true. We looked alike. And in fact, the older I get, the more I look like him. The more I find myself doing what he did. And I would get to talking with my hands and all this stuff. I used to laugh at him because that's the way he talked, you know. If you tied his hands, he wouldn't be able to say anything. And I'm just like it. Just like him. But we need continuous cleaning if we're going to stay in fellowship. Once I have had an initial cleaning, letter A, I just need to wash off the dirt that's gotten on me while I have been walking through life. That's the picture we have here. Just walking through life. You didn't even try to touch anything. You weren't thinking about anything. He said, wash my hands and my feet too. My head and my hands too. No. You weren't trying to do anything. Just walking through life. You didn't purposely do anything necessary even. You're just walking through life. And stuff gets on you. You don't have to try. You have to try not to. And when it comes on you, sometimes you get stuck in the middle of it. You got to ask for forgiveness. You didn't ask the sin. Lord, I'm sorry. Somebody just knows how to push your buttons. Something flies across cat goes across your path here of some sort, if you know what I mean. And all of a sudden, you're someplace in your mind you shouldn't have been, just wrong. Letter B. So we want the continuous cleaning. Letter B, we must admit we need constant cleaning. I'm good. I got saved, I'm good. Well, no wonder you don't feel the presence of God. Well, I took a bath in 65. Figured I'd be good for a while. And he goes, well, you remember the old saying, you take a bath on Saturday night whether you need it or not. My dad had a lot of antique cars, and a lot of times they would get dressed up in old-time clothes. And one of the things that I remember the first time I saw this is the weirdest thing. He had some early period, or 1900 clothes, and it had men's shirts. I mean, you remember these. You'd have one shirt with several collars. Washing was a big deal. You wouldn't have to wash that whole thing. Now, you should have. I mean, right guard and sure and all those things weren't invented yet. You just put on more aftershave or something. But the collar would get dirty. And so they had buttons around there. And you would unbutton this collar and take the collar off, starch up another one, and button the thing back on there. Cover it up with the suit coat and hope nobody could smell you, and the collar looked good, you were good to go. They were used to living dirty. They didn't know any different. We know different. We want to stay clean. First thing we've got to admit that we need cleaning. 1 John 1, if you've got your Bible closed, you can look at it. 1 John 1:5 says this, "And this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." We can't be walking in darkness, he walking in light, and be walking in the same place. Can't do that. Light dispels the darkness. Darkness and light does not stay in the same place. Verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as he is in light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." In other words, all of our sins, both pre-salvation and post-salvation, are under the blood. They've already been paid for. So we need to apply it. "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves." I'm fine. I'm not dirty. You don't smell what I smell? You don't see what I see? "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins," admit it, "see our sin as God sees our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." We are now seen clean again. "If we say that we have not sinned," well, I mean, I don't need clean. I'm all right. "If you say you haven't sinned, you make him a liar and the word's not in us." He just said you're a sinner. No, I'm not. Why are you arguing with God? He said you're a sinner. No, I'm not. "Now all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one." But really, I'm okay. So you're calling God a liar. That's going to get you real far. Letter C. So letter B, we must admit we need constant cleaning. Letter C, we must submit. We must admit to the cleaning. We must submit to the cleaning. Get under the water. Don't do what the 10-year-old boy does and just make the towel wet. Sometimes that's what we do. Christians can do that. Go to church. Oh, yeah, we're sinners. It's a terrible thing. Yeah, it is. We shouldn't do that. But they never really, you don't take a bath in public. Now, the public's going to know whether you took a bath. But really, when you take a bath, you know it's just you and God. Really, even physical bath, it's just you and God. And a spiritual bath, get along with God. Confess your sin to him. Don't just make the towel wet so everybody thinks you took a bath. I know that it's possible for people to make a few Kleenexes wet and shed a few tears over the fact that sin has been a problem and still not have confessed them of God as sin and forsaken them. We're not just, listen, confessing your sin is not just saying, "I am a sinner." Confessing your sin is admitting to God that your sin is wicked, it's an abomination, it makes God sick, and it's enough to keep us out of heaven and send us to hell. Well, I'm not wicked. Have you ever sinned? If you have ever sinned, you're wicked. That really sounds terrible. Well, it's enough to send you to hell. So I guess it's pretty bad. Well, everybody else, well, you know what? When everybody's sitting there, you know, a bunch of guys go out for a week and go deer hunting up in Potter County. After a while, they all smell alike. You know, just part of the way it is. That's life. We're men. You know, complain. We're all, but I'm not any worse than anybody else up there. Well, probably not. Come home and give your wife a good smooch and see what she says. No, you go take a bath first, then you come back and talk to me. I'm glad you're home. But you go get a shower first, and then come back and see me. Right? And yet we expect God just to be all happy with us. Well, that's his job. No, it's not his job. It is his character to show mercy. But he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, and he that confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy. John 15 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. Or it gets rid of the bad spots, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean, look, through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Now, there's a lot of other things in that passage. I want you to see you're clean, purged through the word of God. The word of God, you know, sometimes we can just kind of stand underneath the shower and it all just kind of washes off. Sometimes you got to scrub. It's been on there, it's caked on. Some things are just a little worse. I told you my dad was a mechanic, and we always had this, and up in his shop, he had a sink there that he would clean up before he came down to the house. Now, he still smelled like gasoline, but he would clean up. And you know what he would use? You ever seen that? You ever see this? The soap? Lava. Remember that stuff? Man, that'll take the hide off. Of course, he worked hard. He shoveled coal and ran the fuel company, and he worked hard. His hands were just as tough as they could be, you know. And he'd take that lava soap and go, oh, my soul. A patsy like me would have had nothing but blood on his hand. I'm too soft, you know. And he'd scrub it down. But we're clean through the word. That's another reason why, you know what, just like some little boys don't want to go in the bathroom and take a bath, there are some folks who don't like to go to church and take a bath. They don't want to have to open up the Bible and get cleaned up. Sometimes, well, the Bible just doesn't say anything to me. Well, that's because we stopped listening about 3 years ago. This is the faucet. I don't know. I just don't seem to get anything out of it. Did you brush your teeth? Yeah. Check my brush. It's wet. I mean, how many kids have tried to pull that? Almost all of us. Well, check my toothbrush. Psalm 119:9 says this, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Not just being near it, not even just hearing it, but taking heed to it. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Ah, isn't that something? You know what that means? I got in and got wet. With my whole heart I've sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. I don't want to do a little dance and run through the water. I want to stand underneath the shower and have it wash and wash and wash. Thy word have I hidden mine heart, verse 11, that I might not sin against thee. Not only does it clean me up, but tends to keep me clean. Ephesians 5:24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word. The Lord does that to his church, and we should do that with our family. If your family's got a mess like that, a lot of dirt flying around your house, maybe somebody needs to take the lead. We're going to get underneath the spout where the cleansing's coming out and get something changed. Dr. Shelton Smith, some of you know who he is, been here to preach. He has said in public, so I'm not talking out of turn here. He said when they first got married, their house was a mess. And I'm not talking about things they needed to pick off the floor. He said they just bickered with one another all the time. I just can't imagine it. He said it was awful. But we were in love. You know, we doted all over each other. And then we got married. He said it was like we just bickered all the time. And he said, finally, we sat down one day, and we looked at each other and said, we're not going to do this. We can't have this. We're going to have to do this right. We're going to have to do this God's way. They made a decision. And you listen, you keep your family underneath the hearing the word of God and heeding it. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. But how you cleanse this way by taking heed unto the according to the word of God, you'd be surprised what'll happen. Verse 27 says, I have a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but holy and without blemish. That's what he wants out of us. That's what we can have in our family. Oh, it's time to go. And I'm not done. I think we better stop there. Because I don't want to rush this. And maybe next week will be short. Yeah, I heard that one before. They have this, what's it called? The coronavirus? What was it? Corona? Coronavirus? That's a Toyota, isn't it? The Corolla. Yeah. You know what they said? We don't know what to do. Keep your hands clean. You know, stay away from folks that are coughing and sneezing and do the best you can. Just stay away from it. Stay clean. Keep things clean. He said, well, you know, it's not even my fault. These guys needed their feet washed. And Jesus said, if you don't let me wash your feet, you can't have any part with me. Well, you would have thought they would have been out doing all kinds of things, carousing around this here and there, and doing all kinds of things they shouldn't have been doing. But I don't think that's the case. He said, I just want you to keep clean. You want to walk with me. You want to have part with me. You want to fellowship with me. And by the way, you know what he's leading up to? I know a little further in the story here, and you do too. You read your Bible. He's saying, you know, I'm going. You guys will be down here by yourself. Jesus, I'm not going to be here to watch you every day. You know what he's saying? Kids, you need to learn to brush your teeth and wash your hands and take a bath and wash your hair and be able to live like a decent human being, because I'm not always going to be around here to make you do it. You're going to have to do this on your own. You need to start thinking about these things. Not putting it off. Not trying to hide it. Not just wetting the toothbrush or putting the towel underneath the faucet and say, I took a bath. This is real life. Now, folks, your walk with the Lord is real life. We just can't talk cleaning. We've got to be clean. It might take some good scrubbing. First time, two. And you might, listen, Jan and I have built three houses in our life. We painted all three of them. Sometimes all the paint doesn't come off in the first shower. I'll work hard. Sometimes I'll still find a little, though I've been painting, I'll find a little spot here or something. And I got to work. And you might think you're real clean. And all of a sudden, Lord reveals, you look in the mirror of the Word, and all of a sudden, oh my soul, I missed this whole spot. I missed a whole spot. I thought I was doing really well. But hey, my neck is dirty. I must have a stiff neck. Stubborn heart that needs to be surrendered to get clean. Think about it. By the way, the bathroom is not a public place. Okay? So when you allow yourself to get alone with the Lord. Allow Him to give you a good cleaning. It's really nice to be, as Janet used to say, when the kids finally got all cleaned up, she said, well, now you look shiny. You look all shiny. And the kids, a little neck would stick up. I like it when we get shiny. Then we're walking in the light. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for teaching us some things here. Lord, help us to live for you. And Lord, when we don't, and we won't sometimes, and when we'll get dirty not even trying. We don't have to try. We're in the world. Thank you. We can come to you. We just need to confess and forsake, and you said you'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, thank you for what you're doing. Speak to the hearts of our folks. May we become closer to you than ever before. Heads are bowed.